So today we're going to be looking at the next section of Luke chapter 9, which is going to be 18 through 21. But before that, I want to give you the best four words that you can put into any sermon. Greg, remember this. I will be brief. And I am not kidding. We probably all had the experience of asking a question and getting a completely unexpected answer. Teachers, anybody? Here are a few examples of answers that miss the point. Question. Who can tell me what they think the vocabulary word treaty means? Answer. A treaty is something you give your dog if he is good. Question. Who can name the food groups? Breakfast, lunch, dinner, and I think snack? Finally, who can share what they think the word debate means? Or if they've ever heard the word used before. Isn't that something that fish eat? Debate?
It's a solid fish.
Yeah. Asking the right question at the right time, the right way, to the right audience is important. And in the passage today, we'll see Jesus ask a question that gets multiple answers, depending on who is answering. But only one of them is the right answer, the one he's looking for, even though there are several close misses. The study of the gospel reveals that Jesus asked about 100 questions during his earthly ministry. But this one was a divisive and decisive question. And there's only one right answer, and Peter knew it. But before we get to this question, let's take a look at the context. So just before this passage in Luke, Jesus has fed the multitude, like we learned last week, and he was likely very tired. He'd been preaching and ministering to the crowds for a very long time already. The parallel passage found in Mark 6 says that Jesus wanted the disciples to rest a while after their successful journey of healing and casting out demons. Despite their exhaustion, Jesus continued to pour out himself to these people. But finally, they left in a boat to Bethsaida to get away from the crowd. Now, Jesus has a time of prayer with the disciples. Now, this is his idea of rest. How often do we find rest in talking to our Heavenly Father? Does anyone ever have time where they're sitting there talking with their spouse or their child or their parent, and you're just so relaxed and the conversation is just flowing that you may be tired, but you don't even notice. You're just enjoying the moment. This is how Jesus viewed prayer, just talking to his Father in an intimate way. So now let's take a look at the verses. Starting in Luke 9, verse 18. Once, when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do the crowd say I am?" This is the question. They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life." Here's the second question. "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "God's Messiah." Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone. So here's the question. Who do the crowds say that I am? Is this a question of insecurity? No. Jesus had no insecurity in who he was or his message and his mission. Maybe it was a question of curiosity, but he knows all, so it can't be that. This was a question of faith. Would the disciples answer correctly according to their understanding and their belief? The disciples had just spent a time of ministering in pairs all over Judea, and since they went out in the power of Jesus, they must have heard many opinions of who he was. Well, what did they hear? This is their answer. First, they said John the Baptist. So why would people think he might have been John the Baptist? Well, even John himself asked Jesus directly if he was the one who is to come. And it's not unreasonable that some may have gotten Jesus and John mixed up if they didn't have a first-hand experience with either man. John was also considered a sequel to the prophet Elijah. And let's compare John and Elijah and see how they were very similar. Both of them confronted evil rulers, Ahab in Elijah's case and Herod in John the Baptist's case. Both of them lived in the wilderness with primitive diets. Elijah was fed bread and flesh by birds. John the Baptist foraged locusts and honey. Perhaps that could be a new Christian diet trend. Both of them had a rough appearance. Both men would be at home at a Harley club. They were hairy with leather belts. Both led Israel to repentance in great numbers. Both were hounded or killed by an evil woman, Jezebel and Herodias' daughter. But John made it clear that he was only the messenger, the foreteller. He also pointed others to Jesus as the one. Jesus could not be John the Baptist, since they lived at the same time and were seen together at Jesus' baptism. Next, people said that perhaps he was Elijah. Well, Elijah is also similar to Jesus. They both rebuked Israel. Jesus was able to control the weather on his own authority. Elijah asked, and God granted him control of the weather by withholding rain and then bringing rain. Both of them multiplied food or drink. Both of them raised the dead. Both of them had more power than their predecessors. Elijah did not die. Jesus could not be Elijah, though, also, because they both appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration at the same time. Finally, other prophets. So why is Jesus a prophet? Well, he's different from other prophets, but he is also a prophet. So some may say, oh, he was a good prophet. He was a great prophet. That's true, but that's not all. The differences are, number one, he's still alive. 1 Corinthians 15:20 says, "But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. He's also fully God and fully human." John 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He fulfilled more than 300 prophecies. He performed an innumerable quantity of miracles. John 21:25 says, "Now there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that could be written." He controlled nature. He walked on water and calmed storms. But Jesus spoke on his own authority. He did not speak for God. He was God. So now Jesus makes it personal with the disciples. He's heard the others' answer. He says, "Who do you say that I am?" Without hesitation, as usual, Peter answers, "The Christ of God." And here's where last week's psalm reading really perfectly ties in with today's message. What is Christ? From the Greek Christos, meaning anointed, Christ of God is anointed of God. The Hebrew equivalent is, I looked up the pronunciation, so hopefully this is correct, Mashiach, M-A-S-H-I-A-C-H, or Messiah. Christ and Messiah are interchangeable. The Old Testament references where Messiah is used are usually referring to royalty. In fact, Saul was the very first anointed. Christ is our king and is worthy of this title. And this is the most prominent idea of the title Christ, royalty. Jesus affirms this in a variety of ways during his earthly ministry. For example, he rode the donkey into Jerusalem in his triumphal entry into the city. Now rethink his name, replacing Christ with king. Jesus the King, King Jesus. This means he is above all. He's ruler over all, which is also a theme we saw in our Psalms today. So Peter gives the correct answer to the most important question. We don't know what Peter's understanding was at this moment. Maybe he only thought of Jesus as the earthly Jewish king who would sit on David's throne, who had been prophesied. But it doesn't end there. Jesus would also fulfill Isaiah 53 and be the world's sin bearer, crucified and raised from death. He would also be the sovereign Lord over all. Peter clearly understood this in his Pentecost sermon, Acts 2, 23 and 24. "This man, delivered up by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death, and God raised him up again." Now the next three favorite words of a sermon, finally in conclusion. How do we respond to the question, who is Jesus? If he says to you, who am I to you? The church answer is, of course, God's son. That's the easy one. But what kind of Jesus does your life reveal? Is he like a John the Baptist to others or to you? He's a good messenger. He's interesting and stimulates my intellectual side with his cryptic lectures. Is he like Elijah? Wow, what a miracle worker. He'll supply my needs out of thin air when I'm running out. He can perform sensational feats like when he defeated the prophets of Baal. Then he can slay my enemies for me. Or is he just like other prophets? He can tell us the future. Maybe he can act like an Old Testament judge and deliver us from those that stand against us. While all of these can be true of Jesus, none of them give the whole picture. He is the messenger of the good news of salvation. He is the Elijah, proclaiming that today is the day of salvation, and that no one comes to the Father but through him. And he is the prophet, telling us of a future where we can reign with him if we accept his free gift of grace and mercy. And that is who Jesus is. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for being King, Sovereign, Lord, Ruler over all. Thank you for bringing us this important question. I pray today that all of us would be able to give the right answer. And I pray that we are the right audience for this question. We thank you for the gift of being able to gather together and enjoy reading and sharing your word publicly. And I pray that you will give us all a good week this week, and that we would remember that you are King over us, and that we would live our lives accordingly. Amen.